12 here on the Country Hour. First up today, Grain Producers Australia says it's relying on the science to determine the future use of paraquat in this country and not the recent rhetoric and innuendo about the agricultural chemical. This follows a recent ABC TV Landline feature on the chemical, which detailed a cluster of Parkinson's disease cases in a Victorian farming community and revealed a growing number of independent studies linking paraquat with the incurable neurodegenerative condition. On top of that, this week, Parkinson's Australia announced it supports a ban on the herbicide, citing scientific evidence linking the chemical to the development of Parkinson's disease. It coincides with the current review into paraquat by the APVMA, as the Australian Government Regulator of Agricultural and Veterinary Chemical Products. Andrew Wiedemann is the Research and Development Spokesperson for Grain Producers Australia and has this week met with the APVMA and the Federal Agriculture Minister, Julie Collins. Andrew, what is your level of concern about the future use of paraquat in this country?
Well, look, in terms of the current usage patterns, in terms of the rates that we use, that's our real concern, I suppose, Belinda, to make sure that they're efficacious in the way that we can use them going forward. And we've been looking at the reviews in other parts of the world. The USDA and also New Zealand just recently have done a review in regards to, firstly, obviously, the safety issues that's been broadcast across the ABC since the Landline program. But it's clearly, all of the regulators have found it to be safe to use when according to label usages, and, you know, we continue to look at that. And that's, you know, rather than the innuendo that's been pushed down the pipeline by people at the moment, there's a lot of products that farmers are using, and I don't really believe that any one particular product that we're using could quantifiably be excused to say that it causes a particular disease.
What assurances did you get from the APVMA and the Federal Agriculture Minister during your meeting this week that this chemical will remain in the toolbox?
Well, look, in terms of the review at the moment, it's quite public, it's open. The current rhetoric, as I've talked about, an innuendo that's out there, is not science or peer reviewed at all in any way, shape or form. So we're talking completely about what data is required to continue the process and obviously make sure that the product should be efficacious for farmers to use going forward. And I think that in terms of, you know, the regulator, they're very clear around the process that they've done and you know, what's been... accounted for, and that's not going to change the regulator, and nor should it, because the regulator works on a science risk-based assessment of the products. Our concerns is using methodologies that are developed for Europe and not Australia. So I think that's probably where our real concerns lie at the moment. And obviously the industry, because there is a lot of products coming through the pipeline, we want to make sure that we have that information available so that the data can be used to support any new product coming to market and older products that we're currently using.
So you're not concerned at all about the points that have been raised in the Landline feature, firstly, but even this week, Parkinson's Australia calling for a ban on the chemical. You're not concerned that the APVMA is going to give extra weight to those sort of concerns that are being raised now and make a different decision about the future of paraquat?
There's absolutely no science supporting their arguments, I'm sorry, in terms of peer-reviewed processes that are taken. And the USDA and the New Zealand EPA, as I've said previously, have all declared it safe to use according to label. And obviously, as farmers, we're all aware it's an S7-type product. It's a poison. So we've really got to be quite clear about you know, how and when we use that. And clearly, the systems that farmers are employing now, and particularly broadacre agriculture around closed-loop systems for this insect, insecticides and fungicides, grass sprays and so forth, are all being used through closed-loop systems in a lot of ways. So in terms of contact with any particular chemical, it goes through the regulatory process and the label obviously defines how and appropriately it should be used and the appropriate personal protective equipment that any applicator should be using. And I think that that's where over the journey of my time in farming, Belinda, and I know there'll be a lot of other farmers on listening to this program, will attest that we've improved the way that we handle products and understand products far better. Can we be better at it? Absolutely we can. And I chair the National Working Party for Pesticide Application. We're continuing to talk with the RDCs around how we can improve the training for all the applicators that are using any particular herbicide or pesticide or insecticide or fungicide right across Australia. And obviously, we can always improve. And I think that's a general comment for society itself, really.
But there still are sort of, 67 other countries that have banned it.
Yeah, that's correct, and they banned it for various reasons, and some of them are quite serious reasons in terms of being a poison and, being unable to show safety protocols around that usage. So most of those particular countries you're talking about, that's the reason it's been banned, is because of the way that the users are not adhering to the processes around it.
Just going back to the feature, the paraquat feature on Landline a few weeks ago, which revealed a cluster of Parkinson's disease cases in a Victorian farming community. Independent studies linking paraquat to this incurable neurodegenerative condition. What do you say to that community? I mean, you're a Victorian farmer too, so what do you say to those people in that community?
Oh, look, absolutely. We're, concerned for the people with Parkinson's. And in my own area here in the Wimmera, there is also a group of farmers as well, and people, not only farmers, but people that live in Horsham as well, that have obviously developed Parkinson's. And there's a range of reasons potentially that will be found in time, I suppose, Belinda. But at the moment, there's plenty of people with Parkinson's who don't go anywhere near chemicals whatsoever. So I don't know that you can quantifiably say that this particular product on its own, there's no evidence in my mind that's been peer-reviewed evidence and not hearsay evidence, which is essentially how the ABC, portrayed it. You're not the regulator. The ABC is a program that people have trusted over the journey to provide good and independent journalism. And I think in this case, I've certainly questioned it. I mean, I look at that Landline program, and people in the city who we're trying to move towards modern agriculture will have some view that we're somehow still out marking planes as we did 35, 40 years ago. And I don't think that that's a good image that we should be portraying through mediums such as the ABC.
This is the Country Hour on the ABC WA. It's 13 past 12. Andrew Wiedemann is here today. He's the Research and Development Spokesperson for Grain Producers Australia. And we're discussing the future use of the agricultural chemical, which has been the focus of a recent ABC Landline program and also being reviewed by the regulator, the APVMA. Now, Andrew, the APVMA review of the use of paraquat is proposing to remove a number of current uses at high rates of application that pose an unacceptable risk to the environment. So it's highlighting the environmental concerns as opposed to any human health concerns. The proposal is now open to public consultation until October 29. Is paraquat a risk to the environment?
Look, it's a risk to the environment if we actually take it out of the usage patterns that we have, Belinda, because it actually supports us improving the environment right across all of the Australian broadacre agricultural industry where we're maintaining, and obviously we've been on the program talking about glyphosate recently. It's obviously a building block in terms of supporting the resistance profile that you can have. Chemical continuously. We need this as a break crop, and we've actually found new and novel ways of using gramoxone and actually replacing Roundup for quite a number of broadacre agricultural farmers with some of the new additions that can be included in the tank mix now. It's actually taking that up. And I think that this is part of what I would think that the reform of APVMA going forward will be looking at as well in terms of the environmental impact on taking products out of the environment and how much of an impact that will have. I've got more concern around that, Belinda, than I have in terms of the rates and things that they've actually used.
What are those concerns?
So in terms of taking it out of agriculture today, we end up with having only one particular product to use for knockdowns or late in season weed control, we will build up a resistance with those products. Where there is already resistance, we will obviously see the phase out of minimum and no-till and moving back to a tillage system, a cultivation system, which is obviously where we started the journey in my farming career, and I certainly don't want to go back to that. And that's where I see the biggest impact on our environment will be coming from if we go down that pathway.
I guess the APVMA is really highlighting the main risk, acute or short-term risk, to native mammals and birds. Do you share those concerns?
No, I don't actually. And in fact, I think we've actually increased the habitat considerably for birds, quail and other things. And you've only got to ask the Lebanese quail shooters that visit my farm every year to shoot quail just how prolific they are compared to where we were going back to the years of cultivation, Belinda. So I think that, you know, we've got to get the evidence, though. Like, this is, again, where the industry has to improve the data that's out there, and that's something that we'll continue to do to try and make sure that not just paraquat or diquat but other products are also supported around this, because, you know, using European mammal and bird life data in Australia, you've got two completely different climates to start with. So I think that you've really got to start looking at just how we farm here in a Mediterranean climate and they farm in you know, what we call a cold, cool climate. And there's obviously different parallels around the way that particular products are used. But again, you know, we've got to provide the evidence and the data to the regulator.
And that's what you'll be doing in this consultation process, the public consultation process that's now open for another month or so.
Look, we'll be starting that process and during this period, but it will take quite some considerable time, I believe, to build that full suite of data that will be needed, Belinda. But we will be providing what we can in the short term that's been asked for. And, of course, you know, the discussions with the regulator will continue in terms of just how long the process will remain open for industry to respond to what I see as potential of almost finishing off no-till in Australia.
How serious is this moment for the industry?
This is probably a bigger moment, to be honest, Belinda, than the glyphosate story that's been circulating globally for some time. In my mind, I really do feel that agriculture is at a really serious crossroads in terms of where we go from here. And there are a lot of families and farming families out there who rely on these products to ensure that we get maximum value out of every millimetre of rainfall that falls and lands on our ground and turn that into grain to feed what we see as a very much a growing population. And as you're probably aware, and I think I've spoken to you about before, Belinda, I'm a part of the Global Farmer Food Network, and, you know, we've got to feed almost 10 billion people by 2050, so we need every tool in the toolbox that we can provide to farmers in Australia and continue to do so.
So how confident are you, come the end of this process, that paraquat will still be in the toolbox for farmers to use beyond this review of the chemical by the APVMA?
Well, I'm concerned about the efficacious rate that will end up being the outcome of the review. The reality is the regulator still found it safe to use, but in terms of how we use it, it needs to be efficacious to the rates that we can use to ensure that it's a still effective product in the farmer's toolbox, Belinda.
Good to talk to you. Thank you so much for that. And just one last point to finish off on, because the APVMA has just confirmed a range of products containing diazinon, an insecticide and acaricide used to control pests in various agricultural, horticultural, commercial and veterinary situations, is going to be removed from the market. What do you make of that? How is it used at the moment, and what are the implications?
Yeah, so look, diazinon is actually an interesting product. It's been probably more widely used in agriculture in the broadacre sense in Queensland and northern New South Wales. But, you know, we certainly looked at it as a product for some of the biosecurity incursion issues and products, but we do have others that can replace it for that. So in terms of it being supported, it needs a regulatory registrant to actually support the product. And in this case, they've chosen not to do that. And it's similar for other products, Belinda. And when there are other new products coming through the pipeline, you know, we need to make, you know, very clear signals for the companies to invest, because that's one of the problems we also have in Australia, is we're so small in the global market that we're actually have to ensure that our regulatory system here is robust and correct framework for people to want to invest in Australia and not be subject essentially to innuendo and science that isn't peer-reviewed processed.
Do you see any parallels with this decision on diazinon with Paraquat at all?
No, not really. I mean, it's a product that's been used and we've been using it over the last few decades, and we stopped using it probably 10 years ago for our own control with sheep and so forth, Belinda, but a lot of other farmers have moved to other products as well.
So in this case, there are alternatives, but that's not the same for Paraquat.
No, that is correct. Look, that's where I'm, I guess, and others are concerned about, is that there is actually no direct replacement as of this day and age for products like Paraquat, Diquat and glyphosate. So the whole that whole three spectrum, one supports the other, and that supports the no-till cultivation systems right across Australia. And that's where we've improved our productive capacity. I think if you take this out, I mean, most people will probably realise just how little we will grow if we have to go back to systems that we're employing when I first came home on the farm. You can just do it by the numbers. I mean, and that's going to be a serious impact on Australian agriculture and particularly the grains industry, but also the global market that requires food from Australia.
Andrew, great to talk to you. Thank you.
Good on you, Belinda. Thank you very much.